Well, that was fun. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the New York Yankees 12-6 last night's Baseball Central. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, 590-590 is a text line. Robbie Ray joins us in a few minutes. Wonder what that dugout was like in the sixth inning. What do you think?
Well, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. tried to steal base and actually hit it in a close game. What if he would have got thrown out? How many fire Charlie Montoyos you think we would have gotten on the Sportsnet 590 text line?
Because it's Charlie. Charlie would have put the steel
Holy
base.
Holy moly. I cringed. Fine. When I saw him running, I thought, what? And then I started yelling at the TV saying, please make it. Please make it. So I don't have to talk about Charlie being fired.
There were, well, I mentioned on Twitter, there were 60, it took 60 pitches. It's actually 63 pitches to get two outs in that inning.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a pitcher for the Yankees that threw a 3-2 breaking ball up four runs to an 8-hole hitter.
Then Buck, did you hear?
And Buck was spot on.
I thought Buck was going to run into the TV set and grab.
He's exactly right. You throw 97,
and you're going to throw to Santiago Espinal.
Four runs. You deserve to lose.
I started to laugh.
You deserve
when
it.
I saw that.
And then they're complaining about they can't see the signs. You got whooped.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Put some.
How about that? How about running out there going, hey, I'll do this.
How about going, hey, numbnuts, throw 99.
Here's what you do. Throw a fastball. He can't hit it.
When I was hitting, you could tell me it was coming. If you located it, I was out.
They really do, honest to God. They look like a team that just doesn't give a crap.
No.
Oh, they look like they've checked out. They've checked out. They have checked out. I got a broom around here someplace.
They don't have their
sweep.
Well, Roark's still pitching the third game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know.
Hold your breath on that a little. But, you know, and Taijuan Walker, because Ryu had the worst start as a Jay, he's going to have to go 7-plus tonight. You know, Taijuan Walker, that bullpen is running on fumes. He's going to have to bring it. You know, he's throwing more fastballs. He's elevating more of those as a Jay. He's going to have to get after people. He's going to have to be efficient. He's going to have to get some quick outs. And they're going to have to score some runs early. You know, let's face it. The first five innings of the game, the Blue Jays had no chance. They were like 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Sixth inning, they were 5-for-6 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I know.
Just because a guy threw a 3-2 breaking ball to somebody and walked him.
They were 2-for-10 through three innings.
Yeah, 2-for-14 going into the sixth inning. And then they were 5-for-6 in that one inning.
I'll tell you what. As I said, we'll be joined by Robbie Ray in a few minutes. So
yeah.
We got a lot to talk about out of this game. We got to talk about Rowdy Tellez, that at bat with Chad Green. We've got to talk about Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who is
becoming harder and harder to trade. I'll tell you that.
Oh, he's yeah.
What if?
Well,
he's had 22 games in a row where he looks like he can't get him out. He's a free swinger. Guys that free swing like that have to be mechanically almost perfect.
Did you hear Adam Ottavino after the game? His comment about they just didn't swing. I couldn't. It was remarkable hearing him say that. I could not get them to swing.
Yeah.
Do you think they
throw a lot of secondary pitches?
Do you think Salem Field is a home field advantage for these guys?
For a fact.
Do you think they have a camera hidden in center field and they're stealing signs?
Curveball.
What's that?
Yeah.
Hey,
no,
Chad,
I don't think that's
throw
it.
Throw a fastball.
I think they bought into two-strike approach.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have a 2-minute conversation with Vladdy and say, you know, do what you've done three times all year is have a two-strike approach. You'll be a better hitter. He's the one guy that hadn't bought into it, but everybody else, you can't argue. It's eliminate lower half and try barrel baseball. It's real simple. And you know, Dante Bichette said, what's league average? 166 or something with two strikes? Hit above 166. Jeff, I could do that when I played.
Andy Jansen.
That's your boy.
A grand salami.
Like, you know, the one thing.
When did he become, because people are saying on Twitter, your boy hit a home run.
Your boy.
I like the guy. He's a good dude.
He is a really nice guy, and I was rooting for him. And they have, you know, if that he could take anything away from that at bat. I know if you look at his numbers hitting like 150 off of fastballs. If he can only get into a fastball count, he simplified that 3-1. Everybody in the entire world that was watching that game, obviously, mm-hmm. with the bases loaded and a 3-1 count to a guy that's hitting what he's hitting, knows you're getting a fastball. If he can just think that, when I go to the plate, just get me into a fastball count. And I can be real simple. I can shorten it. I can just be direct as I possibly can. I can think about absolutely nothing except just trying to get the ball in the air. Maybe do that once a game. You can help your team win some.
Yeah. It was a
Awesome. I was rooting for him. He is a great kid.
Well, yeah, and we
but
said
he's been really struggling offensively.
The organization has been all in Danny Jansen now for a couple of years.
Take your hats off to the Blue Jays. They're letting him struggle.
Well,
when I played, that wouldn't have happened. I hit 240 and got sent to Double A, Jeff. Game's changed.
Mm. One of the newest members of the Toronto Blue Jays is Robbie Ray, and we're very pleased that Robbie Ray joins us on Baseball Central. Robbie, thank you for doing this. A belated welcome to Toronto, or at least Buffalo, and by extension, Toronto. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
What was it like in that dugout last night, or what? Just in general, when that inning kept going and going and going.
Oh man, it was pretty fun to watch. You know, honestly, like it just seemed like at bat after at bat, it was just great at bat after great at bat, and then obviously the grand slam by Jano to kind of push it over the edge. That was awesome.
Robbie, I know you haven't been in Buffalo very long, but do you think that's a true home field advantage for you guys?
I would think so. I mean, it's definitely not Toronto, but it definitely feels like it's a Blue Jays town.
Yeah. When you were traded over here, like, what did you know about the Blue Jays situation, you know, with being in Buffalo? What did guys say to you about what it was like and sort of what to expect? And frankly, what did the Blue Jays tell you when the deal was made?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'd watched enough MLB now. Something fun to watch every night, watching the guys play. And, you know, there's a lot of great young hitters. I think that's the one thing that kind of stands out to me is a lot of young guys that can swing the bat, and it's fun to watch. It seems like the pitching staff is a little more veteran heavy, but those hitters are what stand out to me. You know, the bats that they're taking, it's really fun to watch. I mean, working the counts, Kevin, you know, he's got – you know, best eye in the league. Watching that guy take at bats is really fun to watch, and then the power that comes out of that middle of the lineup is what it is. It's really cool.
Yeah, Robbie, when I got traded in spring training once from Milwaukee to the Padres, the biggest issue I had was getting to know my hitting coach. You know, I had a certain way I wanted to do things, and just getting on the same page with him. How's that been with you and Pete Walker early on here?
It's been great. You know, the first outing, he kind of said, just go out and do your thing, and I'm going to watch. And, you know, the first outing I had, you know, throwing 36 to 48 strikes. I don't know if I had done that all year. So it was, you know, it was kind of a nice little, you know, it was nice for me to just be able to go out there and throw. And, you know, we had some things that we wanted to tinker with a little bit, but nothing too major. But, you know, he gave me some suggestions after that game and, you know, some things to kind of to think about. And, you know, it's been a great relationship so far. You know, I have a ton of respect for the guy. I know what he's done, and he's a great guy. But he doesn't force anything on you, but he gives you some suggestions. And, you know, if it works, great. If it doesn't, he's not going to force you to do it. So I think that's a great relationship to have.
Yeah. How hard is it to change arm slot during a season?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that's been difficult, but I feel like I'm in a place right now where I feel really comfortable with my delivery. I feel comfortable with my arm slot, and I feel like everything's coming out really good. You know, there's some minor things here and there, you know, timing things, but I think for the most part, I feel like the ball's coming out of my hand really good.
In some ways, is it almost psychologically a little easier to do that when you go to a new you go to a new organization.
Clean
you got
slate kind of thing.
Clean slate. Well, not even a clean slate, but you got fresh set of eyes, fresh set of ears, fresh voice, you know, in your head talking to you. Does it make it a little easier in some ways?
I would have to say yes. I definitely, you know, coming to a new team, having that fresh start, you know, having a new set of eyes, kind of, you know, the first outing, it couldn't have gone any better because you said, you know, just go out and pitch. I wasn't really thinking about a whole lot of mechanical things or, you know, like pitch sequences and stuff like that. He just said, no, go out and pitch. I want to watch you pitch today. And it was, that was probably the biggest thing that I took away from it was just like, okay, just go out and be you. Go out and do your thing. Pitch how you know how to pitch. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I took away from it is he just wanted me to go out and be myself.
Yeah, Robbie, have you always been a grunter on the mound?
I think that started, let's see, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah.
2017. You know, being teammates with Zach Greinke, he kind of had a little bit of an influence on me with that one. And then, you know, watching tennis players the way that they, you know, some of them, not all of them, but they kind of, you know, release all of that pressure inside. It kind of tightens everything up, tightens up the diaphragm, kind of gets your body in a good position every time. So I took a little bit from Zach and also from watching some tennis players do what they do. So, but yeah, it was about 3 years ago when that started.
Yeah, it's just that no one could hear because the stadium's so full of people.
Right.
Then you can hear everything now. Just ask Mike Rizzo.
It's definitely pronounced now. I mean, with the stadiums full, I could kind of get it. It was muffled a little bit because of the crowd noise, but now it's just full-fledged. Everybody knows what's going on.
Hey, Robbie, one of the things that I think people were interested in when the deal happened is, you know, you're one of those guys that is going to be free agent eligible at the end of the year, and this is a different year, obviously. I don't need to tell you that. Everybody knows it's a different year. What is, you know, what's your mindset for the rest of this year with the Blue Jays looking ahead? Like, you know, there have been people who said, well, maybe Robbie should look at maybe doing something like Andrew Miller did, right, and making that transition into kind of a power lefty out of the bullpen or a guy who could give you, you know, a couple of innings out of the bullpen. Where's your head at right now in terms of where your career may go from here?
Well, I really enjoy starting. I feel like I do a really good job when I get deeper in the games and can turn lineups over. I feel like I do a pretty good job of that. That's kind of been my main focus is I love starting. I love having a routine and doing that. And, you know, going forward, I don't know what they have in mind for me, but, you know, I'm taking it one day at a time, one start at a time. And, you know, honestly, I'll do whatever this team asks me to do for the rest of this year, but I really enjoy getting on that mound and getting deep into games, giving my team a chance to win. I think that's where my most of my value is.
Yeah. What's your early thoughts on a guy like Anthony Kay or Ryan Barucki? What do you think about their stuff coming out of bullpen, being left-handed?
Yeah, I think both of those guys are really good pitchers. You know, Barucki, I've gotten to see him, I feel like, a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's got that power sinker, 95, 96, you know, comes right at guys. He's got some electric stuff. I feel like everybody down that pen for us has electric stuff. It's pretty fun to watch to see those guys come in 95, 96, 97 plus. You know, you got Merriweather that throws up to 100. So, it's an electric bullpen for sure.
Robbie, listen, we really appreciate your time today. Again, welcome to Toronto/Buffalo. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay healthy and, you know, continued success.
Yeah, have fun.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. That's Robbie Ray of the Toronto Blue Jays. And interesting hearing him talk about that with Pete Walker. Just go out and pitch. I just want to see you pitch.
Yeah, I don't think it's about throwing strike one with him. You know, everybody says throw strike one and expand with secondary pitches. It's not about that with him. I think if he stays in the middle of the plate, you know, it's in the bulk. It's in the white part. Don't try and aim for the corners. Don't try and aim for a little bit off. You know, massaging the baseball, massaging the plate. Don't do any of that. You know, that's why you're seeing the catches basically sit up right down the middle, and then he can go up and down because he's not a location guy. He's not a – you want to make the target as big as you can.
He's stuff got good guy. Stuff.
Yeah, his stuff's good if he's not throwing those non-competitive fastballs. I know I try sometimes new guys to look at him if I'm facing them. If I'm standing on the on-deck circle and I'm trying to time them up. You know, you see Jose Bautista all the time having his at bat on the on-deck circle and watching that guy. And the more of those non-competitive fastballs you throw, that's your best pitch, the better chance I got of timing you up. If he can eliminate some of those, he's not going to because he's a max effort guy. Max effort guys aren't going to, you know, they're not going to be efficient. They're not going to have 15, 16 pitch innings because they strike out people and they're effectively wild. Mm-hmm. So if he can just, you know, harness a little bit of those non-competitive fastballs down the stretch, look, you could have a little bit of lightning in a bottle here and you could take pressure off of some younger guys in that bullpen and you could help your team win some games. And that's the ultimate thing here is I said this laughingly off the air before we came on. If the Blue Jays can get to the playoffs first and foremost, and then if they could get past that three-game series, I'm not saying they could go deep in the playoffs because I don't think defensively and smarts-wise and lineup length, mm-hmm. they can. I don't know if their lineup could beat good pitching consistently, which is what you have to do in the playoffs. But they're going to scare people because they just don't know any better. You can see that. They think they can win all the time no matter what. And that could be scary to some certain teams.
590-590 is the text line. We will unpack our discussion with Robbie Ray, and we'll go to the text line. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That was a nice visit with Ben Wagner.
Radio voice.
Here a little early, too. Like it.
Yeah.
Well. Is that saying early bird gets the worm? I don't know.
Well, it is. It's generally a good idea to show up early for something, I find.
If you're not early, you're late.
And you don't ever want to be late. Being late is a bad look.
It is not a good look.
590 is the text line. First pitch tonight is 6:37, by the way, as the Jays go for their second win. It'll be the second win of what will be a three-game sweep against the Yankees. That will leave them four games ahead of the Yankees.
I love your optimism. It is tremendous.
Well, I said at the start of the year they're going to make the playoffs. Then I said they weren't. Then I said they were. And as of today, I feel they have a pretty good chance of finishing, not just making the playoffs. I think they have a pretty good chance of finishing second. Boy, I'm really going out on a limb.
Wait. You picked them not to make the playoffs, and then like a week ago.
No. I picked them originally to make. No.
Because you went away from Oakland.
No. What happened is originally, you're right. Originally, I picked them to make the playoffs. And then I said, wait a minute, I forgot Oakland. So I didn't pick them to win the playoffs, to go to the playoffs. Then I wrote a column, and the headline said that their playoff hopes had evaporated, even though I didn't say that. That's a newspaper thing, right? You can always blame the headline writer. Anyhow, because you don't write the headlines. We don't write the headlines, although you can change it. Anyhow, the point is I wrote them off then. Then a week later I said they're going to go to the playoffs. I'm back. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm driving the bandwagon, baby.
Huh.
Mike from London. The only thing wrong with the Jays is the manager. Put the best lineup in and let the boys play. The two off days is all they need.
It's
not the manager. I'm going to
1,000 times we've said this.
I am getting tired of saying this.
It is not.
And I want people out there to understand. It is not the manager determining the lineup.
It is not.
The Jays will tell you it is the manager determining the lineup because nobody's ever going to say that the analytics guys determine the lineup, because if you do that and the team loses, then the analytics guys get the blame. That's why you have a manager. The manager's the guy who takes the blame.
Yes.
As well as at least a third of the credit when it goes. Anyhow, the point is, folks, and you're saying, well, Jeff, he's the manager. Why doesn't he not do what the front office tells? Because he likes his job.
Yeah.
And because
he'd rather
one
be doing
the,
it here than he would in the minor leagues.
Well, yes. And because when he was hired here, one of the things was, all right, we're very analytics heavy. I think the word is there's kind of a group think here. Like, you know, we're collaborative. That's the word. We're a collaborative team. So if you join us, you're going to be part of our collaborative team.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Now you can criticize, I suppose, maybe some of the manager's in-game decisions with pitching and yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But even that is being done with a lot of analytic input. So what I'm saying is, if you don't like the Blue Jays lineup,
get
don't
over it.
Hammer on the manager. It is that simple. There you go. What'd you make of Robbie Ray, our discussion with Robbie Ray? You made the point. It's hard. I don't think a lot of people realize how hard it is to do what he's trying to do.
And go to a different team.
And go to a different team.
And do it.
And it's not like you're in spring training. You're doing it in games that at least theoretically matter.
When I got traded, I was afraid to know what that other team thought of me. And most of the time, sooner or later, they're going to be honest with you. And that's the little bit of an issue. I don't think it's any more other than how do you get the fastball in the bulk of the plate? That's somewhere on it. Don't throw it right down the middle. Everywhere else is okay because it's something with his heater is hard to hit, pick up, life to it. The 93 throws left-handed plays. His curveball, I don't really get it. His slider, that's a strike three pitch for him. But it's the heater. You know, and the grunting, that's a little bit of a – when I hit off guys that grunted, that usually meant to grunt more, straighter, because he's overthrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you overthrow, it's not nice, fluid, and easy. And he's not normally mechanically sound. Who's that sound like? And the ball's straighter or string, and it's right down the middle a lot of the times, But that's him.
Let's talk about the offense last night before we go back to the text line because we had Robbie join us right away and we wanted to get to him. We talked about, the number of at-bats last night. Rowdy's at-bat against Chad Green, 0-2, 10 pitches. He reaches base, the grounder on the E3. We talked about Chad Green walking Espinal in the 3-2 breaking ball and really setting up that whole inning.
Buck did a great job of lambasting without actually doing it. It was tremendous.
What goes on?
I have no idea. Maybe they couldn't see the sign.
Aaron Boone's not a dummy.
And it's got nothing to do with Booney. It's that card they got on their wrist.
Yeah.
You didn't see him doing that? They all do it. Reed Batts, you throw 97. He's 4 days late on the heater. His bat up and flip him curveball. Give him a chance.
I don't even need to read bats. I read where he is in the damn lineup, and I'm going, I got 97. See what you can do with it.
97 is not what it used to be, but it's
Chad Green's 97 is good. Some of those pitches that were there. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., what explains this? What have you noticed from him?
Free swinger. His swings, his success will be moody because of how much he swings at. He thinks he can hit everything.
Sorry, his success will be moody?
He'll have a 20-game stretch like he does now where he can't get out.
Yeah.
And then he'll have a 12 or 13-game stretch where he couldn't hit a ball if he fell out. He has no chance of hitting a baseball. It's because of what he swings at, how much he swings at, all those other kind of things. And because he has really long arms, he has to be short and quick to the baseball a lot. He has to have true barrel awareness to get it to it. And right now you see, if it's at his eyes, he's getting the barrel to it. That means those hands are staying inside the baseball. They're hugging his chest. It's quick. He doesn't have a violent lower half. It's a simple approach. I get the foot down early. He stride separates a little bit. And that's, it'll be tough to ever trade him. If you're wanting to get something else from another team, if you're that team, you'd be asking about him.
Well, I also like the fact that he gives you, he's got a pretty good throwing arm. And I think left defense is less important in left field than it is any place on the diamond, I think. Because most of the time when the ball's over your head in the left field, it's well over your head.
Yeah, most hitters are right-handed. That line drive right at you, very hard to read.
Yeah.
It's a hard playing line.
Well, but I do think that he has become, given his relative cheapness of his contract, he's a hugely valuable part of this.
These guys are hitters first. They're hitting. You can handle some of the defensive flaws they have.
What about Vladdy last night in the middle of all that nonsense? Vladdy stealing a base. We talked about that.
You better make it again. It's tight games when you're in a playoff hunt and you have a guy that's
He got base. He got base. Base stealers. Three times though. Three in his first four at bats. I mean,
plate awareness was a little bit better yesterday. That plate awareness thing's a big deal. He swings at a lot of, especially when he faces lefties, a lot of balls that are way in, close, real close to him. That would tell you, you know, where he's standing in the batter's box is not allowing him to recognize strikes and balls. Maybe he's too far away from the plate. Maybe he needs to scoot closer. You know, that fastball in off the plate and that changeup down and away from lefties really gives him an issue, especially against lefties. He's going to have to get huge hits, not a ton of hits, but bases loaded, he comes up and gets that single to right, drive in two runs. I take 1-for-4 every night from him with that huge hit. Travis mm-hmm. Shaw's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Grichuk, listen, 2,500-plus at-bats in the big leagues, me, you are what you are. He's not a 300 hitter. You're a 250 hitter, you're probably going to be that, but he can get some huge hits. You know, I take 30 and 80 from him every single year, and he can do that because he has short, quick, level swing because he hits the ball so hard they leave the yard. You take those from these guys. You know, these are not complete hitters. Their lineup's not like that. You know, you don't have a bunch of string together 3 or 4 hits in a row and do that consistently. You're going to have to have bloops and bombs, and that's what those guys are going to have to do, get the bomb.
Let's talk a little bit about Hyunjin Ryu. Gets lost last night in last night's offensive explosion. But that is, I believe, his third career start against the Yankees. He's given up 6 homers in those 3 games, 3 in each of 2 games. Last night, what was the number that that Danny said? 34 of his first 80 pitches were changeups. The changeup was really the only thing that kept him in the game last night for the most part. Explain that to me. Was that Hyunjin Ryu or the Yankees? Because I got to tell you, that's not the Yankees lineup you're going to be facing next year. You know what I mean? They ain't no Judge, ain't no Stanton in that lineup. I mean, Urshela. It wouldn't concern me, but I did find that a little puzzling.
Yeah, I think smarter teams understand what he's trying to do early in counts, especially the right-handed hitters. You know, he wants to get you up and in to get you out, weak contact away. Ground balls, weak contact, weak little fly balls, that kind of thing. If you got a veteran team who's going to ambush early in counts, they're going to look for that stuff in. Like Voit, first pitch, he goes up, he steps in the bucket, he cheats a little bit, he gets a head out, he hits a homer. Hey, that ball's in off the plate, but he's looking for it because that's tendencies with mm-hmm. Ryu. That's what you do against a veteran guy. Why would I want to swing against his changeup? Why would I want to look for the slow 69-mile-an-hour breaking ball? I can't hit that hard. Why would I want to do that? So you eliminate half the field with him. You're not going to serve it to right field if you're a power hitter. You want to get the foot down early, cheat a little bit, get the head out on something in, which is what Voit did. And that's, to me, is he has to be almost, I don't want to say perfect because there's nobody perfect, but he has to have a lot going right with his fastball to go later in games. You know, he's been good. Great. Great to me is 7-plus every time when you're paying a guy this much money who I expect efficiency. I expect 16-pitch innings. I expect deeper in games. But you see him, he works hard. Like, I'm throwing that to set up 2 pitches later. Like, it's tough. And then you got a catcher behind the plate who is just putting them 5-plus 4. It's like just heads popping off trying to figure out what the finger to put down. It's a lot to ask a catcher, first of all, who's, you know, trying to establish himself as a big leaguer. That's why I said, you know, they are what they are, but they needed a true veteran guy who could at least catch him
mm-hmm.
and sprinkle in another veteran guy that he's catching against. And then if you're in love with Danny Jansen, you can let him catch some younger guys.
You made an interesting comment before we came in the air about Hyunjin Ryu, and I wanted you to expand on it a bit because I think listeners would find it really interesting. You talked about how he throws his secondary pitches below hitting speed.
Yeah.
Okay, explain that.
Well, you know, it's how would you – basically, for me, how he gets people out is what I just said. But he wants weak contact to the pull side. That's with the slow – the 80-mile-an-hour changeup, 69-mile-an-hour curveball, the 72-mile-an-hour curveball. He can change depths on it. He can change how hard he throws one of those. And then he's sprinkling in all the backdoor cutters. You know, he's eliminated the sinker. So now he's a 4-pitch guy
because mm-hmm.
the sinker's just not working. They're hitting over 400 against that. He's not going to throw it anymore. Just maybe feel like he did last night. That cutter, that fastball to set up the slow ones, those are below hitting speed. If I'm hitting against that, why would I even look for that? You're not going to hit that hard. So that's the thing. You know, I was left-handed. He's a tough get for a lefty because what do you do with him? Can you pull? You know, the 90, he doesn't always throw his fastball 90. It's the cutter's like 86. When he does throw a sinker to a lefty, it's like 85, 86. And then he'll throw a four-seamer up and in.
He's basically got three different fastballs, doesn't he?
It's all over the place. When he's adding the sinker, he's got good feel to it. He does. He has three different fastballs. He likes to crowd people with the fastball, get you looking in there to stand you up so you're not diving out over the plate for the slow stuff. You know, once the word's out in the American League East – with these short ballparks, will we ever see him go 7-plus innings a lot? That's the question I have. Is it good enough just to see him 5 2/3, 5 1/3, 6 1/3? Is it too much to ask him to go 7 innings? That's the kind of thing with what he's got.
Yeah, and when the Jays made the signing, and look, and I'm all in on that signing because I think at some point,
he hasn't been great.
He has been, and at some point, you know what, you got to sign that guy. At some point, if you want to contend, you got to sign one of the best free agents out there.
They're better than they were last year,
absolutely. Yeah. But my thought process him coming over was smaller ballpark because he played at Dodger Stadium, smaller ballparks in the American League. And, you know, he's not getting that easy out.
Yeah,
in the nine spot. Now, you're not going to get that anywhere anymore because the DH is back. But I guess what I was saying is I was looking at a guy who had a lot of success in the National League West coming into the Bermuda Triangle in terms of hitting, right, in terms of pitchers. That was my area of concern.
I always look at a starting pitcher too. If he doesn't have his main pitch, which is Ryu's, is his fastball, the fastball up and in, the backdoor cutter, that's his pitch. If he doesn't have that, how does he get people out? And good lineups who, if he has to throw 30 changeups and 80 pitches, will you overuse it?
And I'll tell you what really the other thing, and look, there's a lot going on right now, obviously in baseball, but the one thing I also know about Hyunjin Ryu is you got to play real good defense behind him.
Why do you think Espinal was playing short? Yeah,
you've got to play tremendous
defense. It's
a smart move
last night.
Yeah.
Putting your best defender at shortstop because you're going to get a lot of weak contact in the infield. I'm not saying he's not great and he hasn't been doing a great job. It's just that how hard he has to work.
Yeah, nobody's
when he goes out there. You know, it's just not me against you. Here it comes. See if you can hit.
No. Nobody's saying that.
It's not that kind of thing.
And as I said, he's a good guy to have in a team that's contending. But you're right. My number one guy's got to go 7-8 every now and then.
Not all the time, because that's not the way baseball works anymore. But every once in a while, when your bullpen is shot and you need your number one to go out and get after somebody and be efficient and do all these kind of things, that's...
We got Terry from Toronto begs to differ with us. We're going to get to that in a minute. 590-590 is the text line. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., thank you, Andrew Holland, American League Player of the Week.
Oh, that's awesome. He's earned it.
Yeah, he has.
He's earned it.
Yeah.
You know, they say he's a grinder. He grinded out. That's an art. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to grind out until I started feeling good again. I didn't know how to do that. You know, that's shortening up. That's fouling all pitchers' pitches until you start getting in the flow of who you are. You know, he is a get it down a little bit earlier, drive down and through the ball, keep the barrel in the hitting zone a long time, swinging a lot of stuff.
Yep.
You know, bat the ball contact, that guy. And then when you're not feeling that, how do you grind out at bats until you feel it again? He's pretty good at that.
Yeah. And think back to the fact that this is a guy that basically, I wouldn't say he asked to be sent to the minors. Nobody asked to be sent to the minors. But when he had that bad game at second base, let's just say that he was, and Charlie talked to him, let's just say that he was okay with going down to Buffalo and learning a new position.
There you go.
And you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Because ask Kevin Pillar what happens when you keep your mouth shut and go down and just do your job, you know? And good for Lourdes Gurriel Jr., because that is something, well, Bark, would you have gone to manager and said, you know what, I would be okay sending him to AAA to send
him. He had money already. He was getting paid. It's a little easier
but
to do that.
But still,
I didn't
got
have
money.
A deal ever.
He's got pride,
I would
too.
Never go to that. I told you, I left my cell phone at home during off days. You had to hunt me down to come send me down.
I will give him an inordinate amount of credit for that.
He's a solid player on a good team. That's all you need, right?
Yes, exactly. 590-590 is a text line. We'll get to it. We've got a real good question from Terry in Toronto we want to get to. And this is one, man, I wish we could get Pete Walker on to talk about this. Kevin from Toronto's got a terrific question about pitching coaches and catchers. You're going to want to stick around for it. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, 6:37 is the first pitch tonight. It'll be Taiwan Walker on the mound for your Toronto Blue Jays from Salem Field. I wonder if we're going to find out that teams think the Jays have got a camera or something in center field or some such thing, the way they're hitting bombs at Salem Field. You know that teams are going to...
No.
Teams are aware of that stuff now. I'm just saying. Somebody's going to go... I will guarantee you that somebody from the Yankees today or tomorrow before the game will go for a walk around the outfield just to see in case there's a camera there.
Mm.
George in Toronto, how do you like the Yankees' chances against the Rays in round one?
I do not.
I do not. Raise up, everybody. Woo!
I do not.
What was the question I wanted to get to?
Terry.
Terry in Toronto. I don't know if he's taken offense to our questioning, to you suggesting that Hyunjin Ryu isn't very good.
That's exactly what I said, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just paraphrasing it. Larry Walker once accused me of misparaphrasing him.
Oh.
Not misquoting him, misparaphrasing him. So anyhow, no. But he asked, would the Jays be in second place without Hyunjin Ryu?
Not
even close. They wouldn't be in second place without Hyunjin Ryu. No.
They would not.
No.
Coming in last night, they won five out of his six starts. That's
all we were saying is give Peace a chance.
Give what?
No, never mind. that's a John Lennon song.
Oh, cool. All right.
We were not saying that. Barker was just, we were just saying that you want to see your number one guy
just
go
saying,
seven innings.
Quote unquote, you can say biggest game of the year when your team needed you the most.
Yep.
That's I would have not saying he hasn't been great. Just saying in that game, he wasn't great. Can't argue that.
All right. Here's the other question I like. This is from Kevin in Toronto.
That's a great name.
Kevin.
It's a great name.
Kevin has managed to overcome the, He's carried the burden of sharing a name with you quite well, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay.
He heard a debate with Leo Mazzoni, who I think is, well, he's the Braves' former former pitching coach. I think he's a Braves analyst now.
Yeah.
Involved in the Braves broadcast. But mm-hmm. He was the pitching coach when they had Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddox.
Yeah.
I heard a debate with Leo Mazzoni. Is it Mazzoni or Mazzone? Whatever, Leo Mazzoni. Mm. About the value of a pitching coach versus the value of a catcher for young pitchers. Who do you think is more valuable or important for young pitchers, Kevin? A pitching coach or a catcher? That's a really good question.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask you.
I would 100% say it's the catcher. Petey, for me, is there to walk them off the cliff occasionally and know when they're going a direction that they don't want to go in to get them back in the direction that they need to go in. That's what he's there for. But during the game, when you're in the heat of the battle, you need that catcher to firmly put this sign down and say, I really recommend you throwing this right here. Give you a fist pump. Give it to you, the big targets.
Or in the very least,
set up out there.
Chad,
there
throw
it is.
A 3-2 fastball.
Yeah.
It's Espinal.
Petey can only get you and help you get there. When you're out there, it's up to you to get where you want to go. And it's always nice to have a catcher that gives you a vote of confidence. Here it is. We can get him out if you do this. Don't look over there. Look at me.
Well, the other thing, too, is I think you're right about it. I mean, the pitching coach is there to walk you off the cliff.
Yeah.
And especially now, I think with the controls they've put in terms of a video available and everything in game, I think the catcher pitcher relationship might even be more important now in that way. And the other thing I will say, the catcher pitcher relationship is really important for young pitchers too. And this is one thing about Danny Jansen. Everybody says you do not want your catcher taking his hitting issues behind the plate. That was one of the concerns with Gary Sanchez. If a guy's not hitting,
and I just know when I was a hitter and I was struggling, I didn't want anything to do with the hitting coach during a game. I didn't want him to tell me that you're flying open, or I didn't want any of that. Like, there's too much going on, and I wanted to simplify that as much as I could. See ball, hit ball. When the game's over, I'll come up to you and say, what did you see? Did you like what you see? I know we've been working on this in the cage. You know, was it connected? Were my hands doing what they were supposed to? Was I leading with my front shot? All these things.
Were you?
That I didn't want to hear during the game. It's too much.
Were you open to having your teammates talk to you during the game?
No chance. I mean, what the pitcher was throwing me, but when it came to my mechanics and who I was and all these things, you know, that's a slippery slope.
Would guys do that? Are there guys who would do that?
If I went to the cage all the time with one certain person, and that person knew what I was working on and what I was trying to do well, he could come up to me and say, you know, you're not doing it. Fix it.
But if teammate walks up and goes, hey, Bark, I think you're leaking.
He would be tripped and punched in the back of the neck. That's just the way that's going to work. It's my career. It's not yours. That's, you know, it's like Rowdy Tellez trying to teach Vladdy how to play first. Yeah, that's fun to say out loud. But that ain't happening.
No,
it's fun to say out loud.
Basically, everybody's an independent contractor.
You got that right.
Yeah.
The more I hit, the more I'm going to play first.
Yeah.
I'm not going to teach you how to do it better than me, am I? It's fun to say.
I'll tell you what, especially when we're both young, it might be different if I was 39 years old and I got 4 World Series rings and you're the up-and-coming guy, and then now
I'm Rowdy, and a lot of people are talking about me knowing what I'm doing now at the plate.
Yeah.
And I got more power than most humans. Yep.
What else is there here?
I like it when people disagree.
Yeah,
sports. It's sports. It's sports or opinions. When you have your opinion, share them. We're not always right.
There's the obligatory trade Vladdy and Gurriel for pitching.
Who?
Trade Vladdy and Gurriel for pitching.
Ah, come on.
This is an interesting question, actually.
I'm going to
answer this question because it's from Brennan Hamilton. You guys love the show. Just curious what happens with dead money this short year, specifically Tulo's contract. Brennan, the reason I'm going to answer that is I was sitting around one day with not much to do, and I texted.
Which is a lot, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but I asked Mark Shapiro about, okay,
you text
dead money. I want to know what happens with dead money, right?
What do you
say? It's the same. I mean, you're owed every cent.
Pay sooner or later.
There's no prorated because the season is short, right? Because the season is short, there's no prorated on money.
If they owe him $14 million, they owe him $14 million.
Troy Tulowitzki is getting $14 million. Part of his contract. He's getting it. But it was interesting because I was thinking about the same thing.
That's a great question. I never really thought of it.
Yeah, it is.
If you get a mulligan on proration,
you should.
I think you would too.
Hey, Kevin and Jeff, I agree with your thoughts on Ryu. See? Would love him to go deeper too and give the pen a rest once in a while. I feel for Charlie managing the pen. It's so day-to-day managing it as to who can go and who cannot go.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody in the pen has had 2 or 3 days off in a row. Terry from Toronto. Yeah,
Merriweather will get. He'll get till Friday off. What's today? So he's going to get two or three days
and
off.
Shun Yamaguchi was given some time off after going, what did he throw, 45 pitches?
Some of that's who they're facing and stuff that he doesn't have.
But my understanding is they're reluctant to use Kay and Barucki in back-to-back days, right?
Barucki for sure because of injuries. I know that for a fact. The Kay thing, you know, he's young. you know, issues he has throwing a changeup to lefties. That, you know, you got to be careful when you use him, how much you use him. You know, this is Petey is just spinning around in circles. It's yesterday when you watched the Sean Rifoli pitch.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, there's one of those things where you go out to walk out and hold your hand over your mouth and say, get your head out of your derriere nicely.
Yeah.
You got to be nice about it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that was what we've seen from Sean Rifoli in his last two outings. That's his career. It can be maddening.
He's good for two outings, and then he has that one outing where it's just off the train tracks and he has no idea how to get it back on.
No.
And what do you do with him? You know, to me, no-nos are walking people in with the bases loaded. Oh. That's a no-no in the big leagues.
It sounds...
You just can't do that.
It sounds really stupid, but honestly...
That's a quick way to get sent down for me.
Yeah.
It really is. I know his stuff plays better because of the heaters a little bit harder and the breaking ball. The slider, he doesn't throw that enough for strikes. You know, I wasn't a great hitter, but I gave myself a chance by eliminating some things that I wasn't even having to think about, and that'd be one of them against him. He didn't throw it enough for strikes. Why would he even try to hit?
Especially late in the game if he comes in.
When would he pitch late in the game unless you don't have anybody else?
Yeah.
When would you throw him?
No, but I'm saying people are looking at him as a bullpen option. But I mean, if he comes in later in a game in a high leverage situation, you're going to look for a fast break.
You're not going to be swinging at sliders. Him or Ryan Borucki, who are you going to?
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
There you go.
He's the last guy to the bullpen for me. Again, Taijuan Walker tonight, 6:37 first pitch against Jay Happ, who is 1-1 with an ERA of 4.68 for the Yankees. The Jays could go three games.
Happer's not throwing as hard either.
He is not.
Get it down and get ready to hit.
Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Davey Garcia on the mound for the Yankees against Tanner Roark. So we'll see if Taijuan Walker tonight can
playoff baseball in Buffalo.
Can bridge the magical 7-inning mark.
I love it. Little chill in the air, too.
A little chill in the air.
Hard throwers. Got some attitude on the mound.
You watch. They're going to be the... You're going to hear some Yankee whining soon. You're going to hear some Yankee whining soon.
Oh, there's that camera in center field.
Oh, you're going to hear that. Right. That's coming up. You're going to hear that. Yankee whining. It's going to be like the man in white all over again. Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central, 6:37 first pitch. We'll do this again tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Writer's Block with Richard Deitch is next.